Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
All right. So, hey, welcome back, by the way, Chad.
Yeah, thank you.
Gone for a little while.
From Thanksgiving, 2 weeks away from San Diego, and damn, do I miss it.
Boy, did I enjoy being running around naked in the house. Even more so than I do when you were here.
Yeah. Well,
so, what
sorry,
should we start
with? By that, by the way. What should we start with? You want to start with Warlords?
Yeah, sure. Warlords of Draenor. That came out, what, 2 weeks ago?
So that came out the 13th, I believe, is when it came out.
And so this is an expansion for World of Warcraft?
Okay. Some sort of game?
So if you don't know what World of Warcraft is, you...
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
But it's an MMO. This is the fourth expansion, I believe. This gets you from 90 to 100 in your character level. We've all played this, right? I mean, not this expansion, but we've all played WoW, right?
Oh, extensively.
You were 3 years hardcore. You were
on and off for a couple years, yeah.
And I was I'm closer on the 5 years. I took Mists of Pandaria off because I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm in full bore on this. I haven't had, due to the holidays, I haven't had as much time to play, but we'll go over a little bit of this. So, we talked about this a couple months ago when I was in the beta for this.
Right.
Yeah, you got so, it in the beta.
Some of the cool things, so when you buy the game, if you have at least a level 60 character, you get a free level 90 upgrade. So you can either level up to 90 the guy that you like, or you can just pick a new character. In the character creation screen, you just have the level up to 90 one option. What's cool is, if you level up to 90, there's actually kind of a starter quest when you get in there to kind of give you abilities and teach you the character as you go in. So it's not just fresh 90 and you're just sitting in Ogremar not knowing what the hell's going on.
What if you were 90 naturally?
Then
you could skip that whole thing, or you still do
no,
that?
No, that's only there if you take it from 1 to 90.
Gotcha.
If you've already played the guy, then it doesn't.
Top to bottom, this seems to me like they did everything they could possibly do to get new subscribers.
Well, because honestly,
people come back.
It capped out at what, about 12 million users going on this, which is a huge number. And then the last I heard, it was down to like 8 or 7 million. Like, it had been dropped off pretty seriously in Mists of Pandaria. The other thing is, their rating tier had been on the same tier for over a year now. The Siege of Ogremar. I've been talking about Siege of Ogremar for like a year now. They hadn't done another update. So people were just kind of sick of the game. So I think, and this is a lot of fan service. The premise of it is you go kind of back in time to all the characters in Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3. So it's got Ner'zhul, and it's got, you know, all these characters that Gromash Hellscreams in it. So it's got all these characters that the fans like that in the World of Warcraft lore are dead already.
Yeah.
So it goes back. It's an alternate timeline where the orcs didn't drink the demon blood, and so now the orcs themselves are going and trying to raid in the modern times, and you're trying to stop it and all. So, really cool story, I thought, and it, like I said, it's a lot of fan service. It's a lot of like giving fans what they want. They want to see this stuff.
I was excited to hear that there's no flying mounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
even at 100, there's no flying mounts.
Yeah, I thought it was. You know, it kind of
where they took the flying mounts out.
No, so this all takes place in Draenor. You know, Outland.
Mm-hmm.
But Outland's not destroyed because the demons didn't take over.
Okay, so before the Burning Legion showed up.
Exactly, it's the preserved Draenor.
Okay.
So when you're in there, which is the 90 to 100 zones, there's no flying. You can't fly.
Right.
There's no trainer to get at 100. There's nothing.
That keeps people from, you know, just learning the whole map in, what, 2 minutes it takes to fly around the whole thing?
Yeah.
And now you need to naturally explore in the order that the developers wanted you to do it. This lead goes to that quest, to that quest, and then you get the whole
thing. And I think, although I was happy when they put flying in there, I thought it ruined a part of the game. Like, you couldn't put barriers up for people, and you couldn't, like, you couldn't restrict people, and they could just fly in wherever, and the guards...
They could just consume all the content in one day.
Yeah.
At least visually.
And to be honest, people were hitting 100 in the first week here.
Right.
So the content is still pretty easily to consume, and you know, WoW players are diehard, so they'll be playing... They've probably played 30 hours in the first couple days, you know? So there are hundreds in there. I'm at 92 right now. The coolest thing for me is this garrison. I really like this garrison. So they've been talking about doing player housing for a long time, and this is sort of their kind of answer to it, but it's not really an answer.
Yeah, it's your own instance.
So the garrison is all in the same spot, so when you walk in there, it gets instanced into yours, like you're saying, right? So everybody's going into that area, and one thing I found is, like, the enemies will sit right outside of where it becomes instanced.
Uh-huh.
So people will walk out of their garrison into the uninstanced part and run straight into level 100 enemies.
Why? Know? I don't understand.
So they can just kill these 90s, 92s that are running around. Because right when you get in the expansion, right at level 90,
yeah.
So you do, the intro scene where everything goes on and you find out what's going on and everything. And once you get into, the actual zones, the first thing you go into is walk into your garrison and start building your garrison up.
Right.
So it's like just wait in ambush there.
Yeah, so they're just there to grief people as soon as they come out.
Oh, players. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're talking about mobs. I'm like, why would the developers put mobs in
their
house?
Yeah, players.
Okay.
But I'm on Tychondris, which is a very PvP-centric server right now. So it's just that's just how
super frustrating?
No. I'm still enjoying it. You know, you walk out, you see people fighting, you walk back in and you go a different direction or whatever. But the cool thing about garrisons is, first, it's in the starting area, so the level 90 to 92 area. And then once you get beyond that, you get these kind of outposts that allow you to interact with your garrison. So as you're going all the way up to 100, you're still interacting with your garrison, right?
So kind of like phoning home or something?
A little bit like that. And when you finish the kind of quest for the garrison in that zone, it gives you a zone-activated ability, which I thought was cool. So the one in the starting zone, it's, I think, on a 5-minute cooldown or a 3-minute cooldown, but you click it, and for 30 seconds, you got four, minions that go and help you.
And these are from your garrison?
From your garrison, yeah.
And you can upgrade them?
No, you can't upgrade them, but each zone, you get a kind of different ability when you complete the garrison quest in there.
Can you use the first garrison?
No.
In the
second
one?
Each garrison ability is tied to the zone.
Okay.
So then you're building this up. It's kind of like a base, and you're putting different things in that give you different advantages. Like you can put a skinning area, and then if you don't have skinning, you can use it, or leatherworking, So if you don't have leatherworking, you can kind of use it as a leatherworking station. But if you do have leatherworking, you can use that to gain stuff. So that's kind of cool. But then the coolest thing that I saw, it's kind of like Clash of Clans or, you know, Farmville. So you get these followers, and they can be quest rewards, and you can find them, and they can be rare, and they can be epic. So you get these followers, and then you go into the garrison, and you can send these followers out on quests, which are timed quests with a
completion. Can you go help them?
No, but... Depending on their abilities, you have a chance to complete the quest,
right.
Which you know can be as low as 40% or as high as 100.
Right.
So you're using these guys, and some of them are 45 minutes to do, some of them are 10 hours.
Right. Is this something you can control from your cell phone or a web browser?
I'm not sure. That's actually something
seems
that...
Seems like we would be able to.
Because it sounds very similar to the part of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, where you would send your ships out on trade routes, and they had a certain...
Correct, yeah.
Amount or percentage that they would complete the quest, but the higher the risk, the greater the reward. Now, does it seem like this is something that's just to keep people logging in and checking up on the game, or is this actually for content?
I think there is an element of that, but at the same time, they give you actual quest rewards when they complete. Like, you can get items off of it, you can get lots of things for it,
mm-hmm.
And it also builds up your garrison resources, which in turn can get you a bigger garrison and allows you more plots of land to put more things in there.
So it sounds tempting, man. It does. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're so smart over at Blizzard. Hey, they're like, okay, let's take our 500-pound gorilla, and then we're going to add Clash of Clans on it.
Yeah.
And we're going to add...
And just like when they did the pet battles thing, it's like, okay, now we took this collection thing that people have been just doing organically, collecting these pets.
Yeah.
And now let's do something cool with it that makes people want to do it.
Yeah.
And it just, every time they do something like this, it just...
They're so smart.
It just ups the replayability and how long people want to do it. At this point now, you kind of have to specialize. You can't try to collect mounts and pets and do all the garrison stuff and play PvP and play PvE.
Yeah.
You kind of really have... And the, like, glut of content is kind of what I enjoy. Like, I don't like PvP in WoW, so I don't do it. But I don't feel like I ever am out of things to do. Like, yeah, there's always so much to do in WoW. Beyond the garrison thing, it's pretty much a standard expansion, 90 to 100. They didn't add a new class. They didn't add a new race.
Graphics are much better.
Graphics have been updated a lot, and they did a lot of stuff with graphics. I've been very impressed with the graphics.
So now if you go back to the original land, obviously that all the polys are the same there, but your character model is still high.
I think, the character models all look good. And
okay.
Obviously, the new zones look amazing.
Right.
But the old zones don't look bad either. They've
changed. Amazing for a while.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I can run this on my laptop, which has an onboard graphics card.
Yeah.
And I can run the new version. I set it down to low graphics setting.
Yeah.
But I can still run this without any real lag on this game. So I've been very impressed with this expansion so far. I'll follow up, I'm sure, as I get closer to 100 and everything like that. I'll probably be doing Raid Finder and all this other stuff.
Do you think you have a Scroll of Resurrection?
I can look into it.
Cool.
Because I would really like a different one.
Bobby,
of
you want to jump in? Scared, right?
About that.
Let's call it what it is.
Well, I just don't think I have the time for that. I mean, even if I were to play this, when I played WoW, I played nothing else, no other games. It was just World of Warcraft. And if I were to jump back into it now, I wouldn't even have enough time, given my schedule, to really get anything done, you know, to do
And that's the thing with MMOs, is like, you can't just, it's really hard to just spend a couple hours a week playing an MMO.
It's your game.
And the whole time you do that, you feel like you're falling behind because everybody else, because right now, you know, it's been out for 2 weeks. Well, everybody's 100, I'm 92. They're like showing epics and I'm just like farming away.
Well, I think it's a little different for people like us who have played the game and have known what it's like to have been top tier.
Yeah.
If I were, the first time I went into WoW, like, it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and like, I discovered new things and it was this amazing experience. But now it's like, oh, I know what it's like to be the top level and to do all the end game content. And now I know I have to do like a 20 level grind. I'm at 80, so I'd have to do a 20 level grind just to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know,
like, or you start to a 90.
Or you hit the 90 upgrade.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, they've changed the 1 to 90, and you can get 1 to 90 in, you know, a couple days. Like,
oh, really?
They've cleaned up 1 to 90. Yeah. They've cleaned up 1 to 90.
You can make a brand new character, level them to 90 in in a couple days?
In a couple days, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's like 20 to 30 hours to get to 90.
Wow. That doesn't seem right.
They've cleaned it up a lot. They don't expect you to be going...
They want everybody in Draenor.
Yeah, exactly. And they want you to still experience the old zones, but they don't want you to experience it as a crutch that you have to grind your way through.
There's so many.
I feel like the levels are just becoming inflated at this point, Ben.
Oh, and here's the other thing. They did a huge item squish. So, remember, you didn't play in Mists of Pandaria, but items had like 1,000 strength, right?
Right.
So... I got on here, since I didn't play Mists of Pandaria, I didn't play the upgrade to the new expansion. So the new expansion came out, I started playing, and suddenly items had like 150 strength, and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
They did that once before, too. Not Burning Crusade, Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Was when they redid all the stats, they took away some of the stats, too. What was that
they
one? Resilience? They got rid of that.
Well,
they simplified.
Yeah. So this one, it was an exponential curve. So they flattened it out to just a linear curve. So 1 to 90 is a linear curve now. So 1, 2, 3, 4. So at the high levels, you're only at like 150, even though you've done 90 levels. So they changed all the item statings. They got rid of a bunch of item stats, and they added some interesting ones, like versatility is an item stat now.
Hmm.
And they've got multi-strike as an item stat now.
Yeah.
So they really changed it around. So it feels kind of like a new game getting in here, and it still's got the familiar feel of WoW. And I stepped in, and it was WoW. You know, you just play it, pick it up, and play. But still, these items that
all the bells and whistles have been changed around.
Yeah, and the characters, and so I'm playing an
elemental, and not in a bad way.
Yeah, and I'm playing an elemental shaman, and I felt like I was doing new rotations, and new spells are going off, and new things. So it felt new enough that players that have played before can get into it.
I haven't heard a bad word of it about this game. So I mean, if you were an old WoW player and you're on the fence, it sounds like this is the time to get back in.
Yeah. So. All positive to say about it. The only downside is it's an MMO, and realize what you're getting into when you're playing an MMO.
Yep.
This is
severe time sink.
Yeah.
Especially with that garrison.
Yeah.
I can see myself spending so much time on the garrison, but you're not getting XP, right? I mean, you can get some.
You can.
But the time spent versus
on the XP.
Yeah.
And that's one, I think that's, they did that on purpose as a slowing tactic.
Right, yeah.
Because they didn't want people just rushing.
Rushing through, yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Cool.
World of Warcraft. So another big game. We talked a little bit about Far Cry 4 last week, but Emilio, you've been continuing to play that?
Yeah, I have. Just one last thing on Warlords of Draenor. They dropped down to 6 million, I would say,
like
from
that.
12.
Yeah.
And now they've jumped right back up to 10 million again, almost back to their peak numbers.
Subscriptions?
Yeah, subscriptions. So that's pretty amazing.
People are really excited about this. About this expansion.
Yeah. So, Bobby, you were saying, like, how familiar the new bad guy, I forget his name,
Pagan?
Is. Pagan?
The bad guy in Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pagan is something.
Yeah. What's different between him and Ross? And the thing, Voss, the difference, I think, is that this guy is kind of charming in a way. He's kind of, like, nutty, but also charismatic. So I kind of like him.
Handsome Jack?
Not as
funny in that way.
I don't know. There's just something about him. He's got pizzazz. The kid's got moxie. You know? Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly.
He's got panache.
Yeah, he's there he is.
Doesn't he look like Jean-Luc Picard with a really bad toupee on?
He does look... Yeah, his facial structure looks like Jean-Luc Picard, yeah. Number one. So he's right there.
Engage. It's a great outfit.
There's a even more... Okay, let me just break it down. This is Far Cry 3 in a new setting. I mean, I haven't even seen a new mechanic, really. It's all the same shit, except for maybe riding elephants, which I haven't got to. And baiting. Those are the two new mechanics. I haven't seen anything new, but this is not a bad thing.
Wait, baiting? Let's go back to that. What's baiting?
So you can...
Wait. This dude's riding an elephant?
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't unlocked that yet. But, so, remember when you skin animals?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, gross. He does the same thing. He's like, oh, this is nasty.
You know, the actual motion, the character animation for him skinning an animal looked almost exactly like it did in Far Cry 3. Like,
it's almost.
Especially, same developer.
All of that stuff.
Wait, who's the developer on this?
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft Montreal? Who's
I'm not sure which one. I think it was a lot of their guys working together.
Okay.
They work multiple places work on these games together, which is kind of crazy to me. But I mean, obviously it works. I didn't run into any bugs or anything. Okay, let me get to baiting. Baiting is now that when you get the skins, you also get slabs of meat, and you can just throw a slab of meat out, and a predator will come. and attack the dudes or whatever. Or it'll attack you. So it's kind of mixed bag.
So you roll up onto a base with a bunch of guys and you just throw a slab of meat and some tigers jump in and maul them, do the work for you.
Usually it's one.
A one.
And they take him down. It's more of a distraction. He might kill one guy, but maybe.
And that's used in PvP also, by the way.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
I've seen some stuff.
I feel like that's something that happened accidentally in Far Cry 3, and people really liked it, so they made it a mechanic in this game.
Yeah, yeah. And there's still the cages, but there's heavy emphasis more than on 3 about the animals. It's much more about the animals. The trade of the whole country is capturing these crazy animals, and this is how the country makes their money and exports them. That and drugs, and so.
Naturally.
So there's a lot of trappers, and you know that's what they're doing. It fits into the country well. And not at any point I was like, "Oh, this doesn't seem very plausible or anything." It just kind of seemed, "Oh, this could be a real country, and this is what's going on. They're going through a civil war and stuff." So let's see what else I have here.
Far Cry 4. I really want to get this game. I'm waiting for the price to drop, though. Probably the winter sale, I'll end up grabbing it. But I love the Far Cry series. Have not played 2, but 1 and 3 and Blood Dragon. See,
I have 3 and Blood Dragon. Haven't played it yet. I got this on a console if I want to play this. I really... Everything I see about this excites me, and they're almost too much. It's like GTAs. Like, I haven't played GTAs recently because it's like... I feel like they're MMOs almost at this point. Where, like... You're talking about a huge time.
No, totally. And what happened in 3 is what happens to most people, I'm guessing, is I played... I started doing all the side quests, and then after a while, I was like, all right, I'm going to stick to the main quest line. But that's why you got to play Blood Dragon, because Blood Dragon doesn't have all that extra fluff.
It was like $2.
Plus
it.
No, I own it. I bought it on the Summer Sale.
But it's such a narrow scope. I've got every single achievement, every single unlock, absolutely everything you can do in that game I've got, and I played 8 hours of it, maybe 9 hours.
Really?
So it's everything from these games, but a much smaller scope, and then, of course, the 80s shit and, you know, Michael Biehn voice acting. But I don't know if this island is tropical enough for me, though. This is a bit of a different...
It's a mountain.
Okay, mountain, it's like range. The Himalayas, right?
Yeah, it's the Himalayas, yeah.
Tibet, right? Isn't it kind of like Tibet?
Yeah, it's like a fake Tibet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's snow in parts, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really pretty. I mean, I'm coming off of Advanced Warfare, and where everything was so photorealistic at points. Mm-hmm. This kind of beats it as far as like backgrounds and the setting, but the character models are far inferior to they just look cartoony still, non photorealistic at all, and it kind of takes you away from it because the backgrounds look so amazing, and then you talk to somebody and you're like, oh, this is clearly a cartoon, and it just kind of takes you out of it a little bit. When you, now the bar's been set for me now with the Advanced Warfare as far as character models. And this doesn't even come close.
I wonder what engine they used for Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is, it squeezed every inch out of it.
I thought it was I forget.
Well, I mean, Far Cry games have always had really good foliage and trees and forests and stuff. You know, that's always looked amazing in there.
And I think that's what they're playing to the strengths because,
look at the setting.
Yeah. And so, that heavy emphasis on the animals. The predators are motherfucker. Like, they're not easy to kill. Eagles attack you constantly, and you don't really see them coming. So you'll be walking, and you'll see the shadow of an eagle, and you'll seriously be like, oh, like, let me duck under something. Like, oh, shit, like, I'm being hunted right now. You cannot kill tigers or wolves very easily. It takes, like, maybe half a clip of an AK to take something down.
Dunia Engine 2. That's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, I'm guessing.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
In-house?
Far Cry. Far Cry's using
again.
The engine.
Might be.
See, that's weird. They use Crytek in the other games.
Maybe they're not using...
That's strange. They're switching it up. I have to look more into that.
How's the story on this? I didn't talk to you last week about
it.
Because Far Cry 3 had... Like, that was one of the selling points. Like, you started off as this kind of like...
Scrawny dude,
and you kind of grew into it. Does this?
It's a lot to me so far. It feels a lot less about me and my progression as it is the people.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, man, there's something around about this bad guy. He's, I don't know if he's entirely bad. I mean, he did kill somebody right in front of me, but there's going to be something with him. I know there's something. He might be my real dad or something like that. I'm not sure.
Finally,
get your real dad. Well, some people had some criticisms over 3 because you're this white dude who shows up on an island and just saves the day. And I guess in this game, you play as a native to the island.
You're a child of two people from there. So
okay,
Ajay Gali is his name.
I just heard a little bit about the multiplayer. You want to hear a little bit about it?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's asymmetrical. It's always the mercenaries against the natives.
Right.
So one side uses a lot of bow and arrows, a lot of baiting, a lot of stealth. They have stealth abilities, right. Versus the guys that have, you know, the AKs and the more advanced weaponry. I'm hearing good things about it because there's one mode where one side's trying to attack and the other side's trying to defend. There's another one where the other one's trying to attack and the other one's trying to defend. But the asymmetrical seems, from what I've been hearing, seems fairly balanced. So even though they're different sides, there's no clear advantage on which one's winning. Mm-hmm. So I've been hearing good things, so I hope you get a chance to play the multiplayer at some point.
Yeah, hopefully.
And there's also a co-op mode, right?
Yes. After a certain point, I think like after the fifth mission or something, you can play co-op, just the main storyline in co-op somehow.
Yeah, but that also doesn't... The other person doesn't need the game, right? He can just join up.
What?
That's what I've heard. Like,
oh, I don't know about that.
They don't need the game, that they can...
Well, they got to have the game installed. I mean, how are they going to load it up and join it?
Maybe that's
he means like a purchased copy.
Maybe that's a console
only
thing.
I did hear that. Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
But I've heard that somehow that you can play... Basically, it's to get your friends to buy the game too, but they can play co-op in some manner without the game bot.
I don't know. It's got to be nerfed in some way. Like, it's got to be like a limited version of it.
Well, if you can only play when your friend is playing, and only on the level he's playing, that's pretty limited. Or
I don't know.
So
is it funny? Because like there was times in Far Cry 3, right, that it was that there was humor in this game.
No, not really. It's pretty serious.
Okay.
But so you're on a mountain. It's basically it all happens in these valleys, right? Because you're in a mountain range. So everything's all about verticality. There's a lot of rope mechanics. And it's the best rope mechanics I've seen in the game. It's like you can rappel, you can jump off, you can go side to side, and it feels very fluid. It doesn't feel stiff at all. It feels like you're on a rope. That's pretty cool. You've had to do hunting, and the hunting feels real natural. The animal animations are cool. They do like they lay down like just like you're watching the nature. I walk around, and at points I just stop and look at them.
You do that in Skyrim all the time.
It's so great. It's like really, really good. This crushes Skyrim as far as backgrounds and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
3 years, 4 years newer than Skyrim.
And what we say...
What's this getting on Metacritic? Can we pull that up, Albert? The scores. That dude's got an arrow in his face.
Yeah, it's. I think it's doing really, really well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that Ubisoft, did we talk about this last week? Ubisoft came out with Assassin's Creed Unity and Far Cry 4, like back-to-back practically. And yeah, 80.
Wow, that's not as good as
it should have gotten an 82, dude, so it could go with my theory that everything gets 82s these days. Because it's not too good, but it's not bad. You know, it's a safe bet.
That's crazy. Nobody even reviewed it with a 9.
PC Gamer gave it an 89. All right.
Okay. And user scores are low, too.
6.3. Yeah.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. Maybe that's because they...
you know what, though, dude? I do not trust the... Yeah, possibly. I do not trust user scores on Metacritic. They, a lot of times, they're far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always because of one thing, you know, like a technical issue.
Right. So, right now, is this the game you're playing? Like, this is the one?
Until I get Dragon Age.
Yeah, okay. And we can talk about that later.
Because at a certain point, I was having a great time, and it's gorgeous, and all this stuff, and I was like, this is just Far Cry 3. This is exactly Far Cry 3, but it's a lot prettier.
Yeah.
So I was like...
New environment, though.
Do I really want to
put
it in?
They didn't really add that much stuff to it, huh?
No, they really... I mean, the elephants...
You get to ride an elephant, that's pretty cool. But I see what you're saying. It looks very similar in a lot of ways.
You go to a tower, you unlock a section, all this, you know... You can go do all the side missions. The thing about the side missions is it's not like you're just getting XP. You're getting stuff that makes your character stronger, whether it be a new item of some sort or unlocking. You know, you're making yourself better, so you kind of feel like... They don't feel like your traditional side quests. Mm-hmm. We just go do it for the story. The other cool little mechanic they have in here is that there's two quest givers, which are two people that are kind of fighting over the rebel leadership. And if you continuously do one over the other, you get to a certain point where it's called a struggle or something like that, where if you pick left or right, that person's going to gain strength in the tribe. So, and you'll get completely different missions if you keep going to the same person. So eventually one of them is going to be the leader of the tribe or whatever. So that was interesting. I haven't seen that recently.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. So what else have we been playing? You guys, or Chad, you've been playing World of Warcraft. Emilio's been playing Far Cry 4.
Well, I also played... I won't talk very much about this. Some of the... a user requested that somebody play Final Fantasy XIV after some changes. I knew Warcraft was coming out, so I booted up my version of Final Fantasy XIV, give it a go, see if it's changed. I won't talk very long on this, but it's a very pretty game. It's a very Japanese game. If you're into the Japanese RPGs and stuff like that, then you could be into this. I didn't like it. I don't think Square Enix knows how to do an MMO yet. Like, MMOs are crafted differently than a traditional RPG, and they just haven't gotten that idea yet. Every time you go up to a quest, it's like a cutscene, and somebody talks, and the word bubble comes up, and then it's waiting for you to press X to go. And then you press X, and then they do some motion, and another word bubble comes up. And there's just no way to get by this. And, you know, this is an MMO. You've got
shit to do.
You got 10 quests up.
Yeah.
Like, each one of those, when you start the quest and when you end the quest, has these things. I just felt like I spent all day at the town waiting for word bubbles to appear. Like, you know how, wow, it's very clean. It comes up. It used to scroll, but now it doesn't even scroll anymore. It just pops up on screen. You say yes. Mm. And I'm into the story. I'm into story, and I like story, and I usually read stuff, especially on WoW. And I just got so frustrated by this game. There's no way to speed things up at all. They've got to do their animations and their cutscenes and everything. There's just no way to speed this up.
I never read a goddamn thing, so that would...
Oh, yeah, you would hate this game. The targeting is kind of wonky sometimes, and I'm trying to like tab target, and it's just not working sometimes. They've got kind of cool effects. I'm playing right now is the basically the daughter, the one that dots and does stuff with dots, okay. And he's got like a little minion that also damages. A conjurer, I believe. No, I forget what it was.
So, unfortunately for this game, it was up against Draenor this week. Like, you're doing side by side.
Well, I was playing it prior to Draenor coming out, so I played it like two or three weeks ago and was playing it. I'm having a great time. I'm almost level 20 with my guy. I'm having fun. The class system where once you hit level 30, you can change your class, and then once that new class is 15, you can kind of do a hybrid class.
Right.
That's kind of how you do like a black mage or a gray mage. You kind of have to do multiple classes to get them, and the whole idea where you can get every class to max level on your character, and you can kind of just switch hats. It's all based on what weapon you're using. So if you're using a certain weapon, that is the class that you pick.
Right.
So it's got some cool things. Like, if you're into the Japanese style instead of the American style, like WoW, like, I would recommend you give Final Fantasy a go.
You missed it last week when we talked about Sakura Spirit. Yeah. This Fox Lady is reminding me of a game I played last week. I tried a visual novel,
and
it had like all that kind of Japanese animation.
Yeah. It is super Japanese. Which is all right. Like, it's a nice change of pace. But I just got tired of the quest just again and again. You just couldn't get through anything, and you had to, like, I don't know. Maybe we're just too ADD over here in America to deal with this stuff.
It just looks very...
I mean, if it was your first MMO, then maybe you'd sit through it, but...
Yeah. Or if you were into the Final Fantasy genre at all and really like Final Fantasy, you know, this basically can play like a single-player game. I rarely ever grouped up, and I was just running around doing my quests. So to me, I played it basically like a single player game, and you know, I was having fun. But if I had to sit down and play one, I'm going to play WoW 10 out of 10 times.
There you go.
So
there's that.
Cool,
Bobby. What the fuck? Oh,
the one thing that I did like on this, which I thought was cool, you've got this hunter's journal, and some monsters just have a little icon above their head, and if you kill like four or five of them, you get kind of like a bonus XP, and it adds to your hunter's journal and stuff. I thought that was kind of a cool idea. Like, it's kind of organic quests where you don't have to always go to a quest giver. Yeah. You can kind of just go out and explore. I wish more MMOs would do kind of that.
Guild Wars 2 did that a lot, where they tried to have the quests come up as opposed to you going out and getting them in the typical fashion.
EverQuest Next is going for as well.
Yeah. And WoW kind of does that too. In the zones, there's kind of multiple points where you just walk into the zone and it brings up. WoW used to have this thing where you'd kill one animal and all of a sudden it would pop a screen up and say, hey, now kill 10 of these. And it happened very rarely. Mm-hmm. Now they kind of integrate it into the map, and you can look at the map and say, oh, there's an X right here. If I walk into this area, it'll do it kind an area.
Would they call it in Guild Wars 2 like an event or something?
Yeah.
They had a name for it. But yeah, it's a different way of doing quests. And there's nothing wrong with the typical, you know, exclamation mark, question mark, quest giver.
Wow, there's a lot.
You know, it's fun, but it's just...
You have to get it and then go and then come back. It's the coming back part that I...
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that, though, but it's just been done to death. I mean, that's just...
Sure.
You know.
But you think, like, if you're a knight in some world...
Yeah.
Some person says, I've got something I need you to do.
Yeah.
You go and do it, and you come back and say, hey, I did it. Here's the head of this person that you asked me to kill.
Well, that's...
It makes sense. Logically.
That's in a good one. What about when they send you to go get fucking 10 black rocks? And you're like, why didn't you go get the fucking black rocks?
You know, having somebody, having a player go to a location, do something, and then having them traverse that same path again, go back, I think that's done in games a lot to give people a sense of realism and a sense of the environment, like wherever they may be. Like in Alien Isolation, you went to the same place over and over again. And you tread on dangerous ground there because it can get really old and really boring because you see the same shit. But at the same time, you get a sense that I'm in a place. Like this is an area. This is not just shit flying past. You know, not like a first-person shooter where you see a level once and you zip right by and then you never see it again.
And talking about this quest stuff, that was something that I thought was kind of cool with Eve, is their bounty system where you can just set bounties for players. I thought if you took that kind of to the next level, you could have players that would be quest givers and players that would be quest takers, and you could kind of do stuff more organically with people creating their own quests and setting up as quest players instead. Because we don't really have that in MMOs, and I think that's an area... The idea of the quest system, I think there's room for growth there.
Yeah, I really think that EverQuest Next is going to be the next... they're doing new things.
Yeah.
Well, they're promising new things.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The other thing, while I'm talking about Final Fantasy XIV, is... So I did some instances. I did some group instances. They do a four-group instance. So it's a healer, the tank, and two damage dealers. And WoW does a 5-base system with a tank, a healer, and 3-base. And I really think that groups need to go the other way. They need to be bigger. They need to be 6 or 7 because everybody wants to be a damage dealer. And the only way to balance things out is to increase the number of damage dealers. Because I ended up sitting for an hour waiting for a group because my class couldn't be a healer or a tank.
Oh, right.
So I had to wait in the damage.
Yeah, with a 4-person group, you're counting on that 25% of the players want to be healers.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
And
it's usually that 10.
For WoW, you're down to 20% because it's 1 out of 5.
Right.
But I think it needs to be like...
But then you're having loot issues.
No, because that can all be handled, and it is handled by the system itself. When you're in these pickup groups, these like made-up groups... You know, that you lock down who can loot roll and like WoW does that right now. It locks down and doesn't let you roll lead if it's not for you, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So like you can
it wasn't always like that, but it is.
Well, I just think that's something that needs to be looked at. Like
that's clever. Let's so you can't roll need if it's not for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same with Final Fantasy XIV. You can't roll need if it's a strength item and you're playing a mind or whatever. Yeah, so I think that's something that needs to be looked at.
I bet the intro animation was killer.
All like
Square Enix and
it's all cool stuff, and you know you've got like this character story arc, and when you hit these like major milestones, they do these big cutscenes, and it's cool. Like a dragon flies out of the moon and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just like these crazy fucking things, but you know, whatever. How about you, Bobby? We've been talking this whole fucking time.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot. I had the week off, so I've been playing a ton of games. I guess I'll start with this War of Mine. We talked a lot about that last week, but I beat it. Like, 2 days after we were talking about it, I beat the game. And it was a really hard game, but I kind of got the rhythm of it down.
Because you guys have been talking about this game, and I've been just looking at screenshots because I've been out of town and I can't play.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like a 2D kind of game. And you guys have been talking about it like It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So
listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you should, okay. How about that? Check out this podcast.
Yeah, right, it's pretty cool.
Hey, some people are busy this week on Thanksgiving.
2-hour flight here tonight. Okay. And yeah.
You should definitely check it out.
He was contemplating.
Yeah, I was fapping the whole time. PH, with a PH.
If this plane goes down, which who's going down with me? Who's going down on me?
Callback. That's a way.
That's a callback to a few episodes ago.
Yeah. All right. More than a few. Okay.
All right. So this War of Mine. Yeah. From looking at it, it's. I don't know what you would take away from that.
It's a beautiful game, by the way.
It's a good-looking game.
The atmosphere.
You really got to play it to really understand what makes it so special, though. It is a great game.
It's the emotion, really, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it, but I admire the actual gameplay, though, the mechanics of the game. Mm-hmm. It has a lot going for it. It marries the two very well, which a lot of games don't. But I beat it. I got the rhythm of this game down. I was like, all right, I figured this out. I'm doing it. Started a new run and beat it just barely. But the only reason I just barely beat it is because I sent out a guy on kind of a risky run and made a stupid move, got him killed, and then it was really tough from that point on. And then one guy survived, one person. And
was he starving?
Oh, yeah, he barely made it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed because he was the second guy to show up. I wanted the girl to survive because she was one of the original characters that I had, but she ran away a day before the war ended. And she was a total bitch. Like, she was the worst person ever. She was always, anytime someone else was out.
Is the reporter that's good at bartering, that one? Or the one that's good at sneaking?
Oh, what was her name?
I don't know my name.
She's a young girl. I can't remember her name.
There's one that's good at sneaking. There's one that's
good at bartering. It was the one that was good at sneaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was her.
Blonde.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. She was always complaining.
This is black and white. How can you even tell?
It's just lighter.
You can tell. But she was always complaining, and she's always like, me, what about me? I'm like, oh, dude, this bitch is getting on my nerves. But I wanted her to survive because I thought that would have been better, to have one person go from start to finish. That would have made a better story. But no, she took off, ran away. Now, at the end of the game, it gives you a complete readout of what happened. It goes through your entire gameplay and says, on day so-and-so, this person tried to rob some old people and got shot in the process. So-and-so died of pneumonia or something. And it goes
all your people.
Yeah, all your people. It goes through the whole story. And then it tells you what happens after the war. Like, my one guy that survived, it was like, he was never the same. He just became an alcoholic, died in the street. Like, it's... when you beat the game, it's just like...
The most
upbeat down
game I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's... I saw a review someone put in Steam, and I usually don't like it when people try to be all witty in their reviews, but someone put Depression Simulator 2014.
Yeah.
I feel that's a little accurate.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to him for that. But yeah, I beat the game. But I was talking to a listener of ours, and we were talking about stuff that we just figured out about the game. What did he tell me? Shit, I can't remember. I know what I told him. I got an axe at some point, and I realized you could chop the furniture in your house, make firewood, and get wood. I had no idea.
Really useful.
Yeah, made it so much easier. Oh, he told me, it was Sykes, by the way. Congratulations for winning this PAX swag.
Yeah, you'll get that sometime next year.
No, I'm not in charge of that anymore.
What? No, you're
you're
in charge
of one thing. Yeah.
Sykes, it'll go out this week. Bobby will hold me to it.
Yep. But he told me that you could change the stations on the radio to get more information.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. But there's all these little things that are popping up on the game that I didn't know about that I think is interesting. It makes it a little funner, you know, when you...
Who's
a little
the
more
developer
fun.
On this?
It's 11-bit Studios.
Is it a first-time developer?
Yeah.
And this, they knocked it out of the park on this one.
Oh, yeah. They made a profit in the first 2 days.
That's
yeah, and they've
good.
Been giving away copies, and they've, like, come out as not being completely against piracy, and they even... Did I already mention the deal they're doing with Bundle Stars, where if you spend $30 on Bundle Stars, they give you a free copy of this game.
Really?
It's either Bundle Stars or Indie... No, it's Bundle Stars.
Okay.
But, yeah, dude, it's a great game, and I beat it, so I was like, all right, I don't even know if I need to play any more of this depressing game. I think I conquered it.
Yeah. Like I said last week, They accomplished what they were going for.
Yeah.
Super depressing game, and that's why I can't play it that much.
Yeah, and given these guys, I'm going to get mad money here real quick with my Steam prices. Okay. But given these guys leniency on piracy and other things that they've said, I wouldn't be surprised if this game went on sale like drastically, at least 50% off during the winter sale. It's already on sale for the exploration sale for, I think, like a 25% off, a third off, something like that. So I think we're going to see this drop really big in price. We may even see this on a site like Indiegogo or Bundle Stars for ridiculously low. So when that happens, definitely pick it up.
Okay.
All right, cool. that's my deal. So who's next?
Amina, you want to talk BattleBlock?
Sure, I played it with Bobby a little while. It reminds me a lot like Little Big Planet. It's really funny. It's cutesy. I thought the graphics couldn't be a lot worse. It's very clean, very smooth.
You guys know where Behemoth is based out of, right?
No.
This is San Diego.
Really?
Yeah, downtown San Diego. I got a bunch of friends that.
So like literally less than a mile from where we're currently
at.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
So it's a platformer, but it's half platformer, half puzzle game, I want to say. Because Bobby and I were continuously like, okay, what do we need to do here? And neither of our characters are moving. We're just standing in a spot, trying not to die, seeing what jump we need to do, and then trying to get that jump done in cooperation. Like, I have to toss you, he tosses me, you jump. There was one even where I had to double jump, and he had to jump on my head on the crest of my double jump. And he made it on the first try.
We should have recorded that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I had my Shadow Play set to stream instead of record, but yeah, it was an amazing
play. That was an awesome jump. And so, yeah, it's really fun. Although, I wanted the PvP stuff like this right here. I think there's a Smash Brothers
mode?
Component. Yeah, there's like a lot of PvP in there. There's like five different types or something.
Albert, you got some single player mode loaded up somewhere so I can see what...
And I would say the comedy in this game is really good. Like, I'm constantly giggling because the announcer is hilarious. He does a really good job.
I can't remember. We talked about the voice actor before, and I can't remember his name, but there's a great video of him on YouTube, and he has the funniest voice you've ever heard. It's Will something. I can't remember it. But if
Will
you,
Wheaton?
No, yeah. Not Will Wheaton, no. But it is hilarious, dude. This game's got comedy. So, I mean, it's Behemoth.
So my understanding is this game is similar to Little Big Planet in that there's no... You don't have a number of lives, right? You just keep... They've got a respawn point, and you just keep respawning until you get through it. It's like a puzzle game.
Yeah, I've never played Little Big Planet, so I don't know about that. But it reminds me of Super Meat Boy, where death is not a problem at all. There's no punishment. You don't get set back at all. You just instantly respawn.
Okay.
Death is not an issue.
Okay.
But it's... But at the same time, you can't get past certain places until you figure out how to do it. And a lot of it requires teamwork. And it's a great co-op game, and probably everybody on Steam has this game. It was going for $1.50 during the first day of the exploration sale, and pretty much everybody bought it.
You wanted to just talk about the exploration sale since you brought it up a couple times?
Yeah, we can talk about
that. Because I've been out for 2 weeks, I have no idea what you're talking about, so fill me in.
Okay, well, Steam's having a sale. It's not a Thanksgiving sale, even though it kind of happened around this that time. They called it an exploration sale. And it seems to be focusing on getting people to explore. Because, when Steam had that big upgrade recently, it was all about, what games are you into? Let me recommend you some games. Really about customizing the storefront for you.
Okay.
So it's got this section where you can go to on the main page where it has all your recommended games and you just flip through them. It's pretty cool.
I like that a lot.
But a lot of good deals. What they're doing is every day they have a new sale, and that sale lasts for 2 days. So they overlap a little bit. So every single day, the 26th to the 2nd, which is when this podcast goes up, so it'll be over by then, they have new deals. By the way, December 2nd,
but not the people watching our stream. They're
in the know. Yeah. But I meant to bring this up at the beginning, but December 2nd is a big day. You guys know why?
Is it your birthday?
No. Really? You guys, you don't know.
December 2nd. No.
Not a clue.
First day you were on Steam.
No. Anniversary with you and your girl.
Getting close.
Anniversary of DL Gaming Podcast.
Yes. Boom. Very first episode went up 1 year ago, December 2nd.
Wow.
Don't go and listen.
Crazy.
I wasn't on that, so don't listen because...
I don't think Chad can...
Everybody is a flopsy head, so... Yeah. You don't want to listen to that one.
So 1 year anniversary coming up. exciting stuff to the day that this episode
is. Somebody asked me how long we'd be doing it. I was like, 6 months. I have no concept of time.
That's true. Wow, fun. 1 year. Yeah. DL Games with her. We should do something for that.
Well, somebody put us on the list for podcasts to watch in 2015.
Really?
Pretty sexy.
That is amazing.
Up and coming. Yeah. Young money. All right.
And you guys got in on the ground floor. So, just so you know. You guys are hipsters.
Yep.
You were cool before it was cool.
Yeah, when we get big, dude, we're all up on like IGN and shit, people can say like, oh, we knew those guys way before they sold out.
Yeah, we and we will for a dollar.
Sold.
Okay, I'm kidding. Right.
So anyway, right, Battle Block Theater. You know, people always ask us to talk about co-op games, and we had a whole episode dedicated to it, and we said some really awesome stuff, but, you know, I think it's fair to repeat some of the stuff on there. And one of those things...
Did we mention this game?
No, none of us have played.
I think I did, because at that time I had.
Yeah.
Had
played
a lot of that's right, games. You had.
And what I said about this game is true for a lot of co-op games. When you're playing with someone, Emilio and I were on Skype talking to each other, and we're trying to figure out these puzzles, and we're like, okay, no, wait, you do this. All right, now I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to do this. And then after a while, when you get better at the game, there's less of that verbal communication, and everything is a little more assumed, and before you know it, you're working in tandem just without having to coordinate as much. Mm. So it's a really interesting effect that these co-op games, especially these puzzle games, have, where you have to work together. Like Portal 2, same deal. Like
it has a lot to do with customization to this game in particular. I think there's probably over 100 costumes you put on, right?
Faces. You choose the shape of your head, and then you choose an actual head. Like the look of it.
There's four shapes, but then for each one of those shapes, there's I don't know how many.
Yeah.
There's got to be so many. And Bobby had, of course, tons and tons. So every time I saw him, I'd laugh. It was a ridiculous
show. You started on chapter 6 because we played on my game. And I don't know how long this game is, but I think chapter 6 has got to be near the end. But those were significantly harder than the earlier levels.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, from what I was playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, good game. And I paid less than $2 for it. So why not?
$1.50, you have got to get that game.
Yeah.
I mean, that sale's not happening anymore, but...
I'm sure it'll come up again.
Yeah.
What else did Behemoth do? What was the one before this?
Well, that's another interesting thing.
Castle Crashers, right?
Castle Crashers, which is a brawler beat-em-up game. And then they do a puzzle platformer, and then the next game...
But it's very similar art style.
Oh, yeah, the art style is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And the same voice actor as well, the same narrator. Yeah. But it's a completely different kind of game. It's a different genre. But the next game that they're working on is a casual RTS or... Yeah, wait, what we got it here.
No, it's like a pseudo MOBA, isn't it?
Game 4. I don't know if that's the official title.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a pseudo MOBA.
Short before the...
Yeah. We had talked about this. They announced it at PAX, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we
watched this. We were going to bring it up 1 week, but we never did.
Yeah. I do not remember what it is.
I think it's like an RTS, like a casual RTS.
Anyways, should we talk about something else that
we know about?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You want to talk Never Alone?
Yeah, I'll talk for a second on that. Never Alone is it's got a different name. It's like Kissima something or other. It's a game that they made in conjunction with the native people of like the Arctic or Alaska, like the Inuit. Yeah, the Inuit. And it's based off like a book... I can't remember the name of the book, but...
The graphics look sweet.
The graphics are good. This is done on the Unity engine, too. It's amazing how good you can make the Unity engine look. I'm always impressed by it. But it's a puzzle platformer, a little light on the puzzles, and a little light on the platforms, too. Honestly, this game lacks a little bit in mechanics and gameplay, but it's got a good story. It retells the story from this book, but it also... kind of weaves in like a documentary. You find these owls and they unlock cutscenes, and it plays a short clip of like of these people talking about like culture and heritage and all this interesting stuff. Hmm. And I really enjoyed that part of it.
The animations are kind of dog shit.
It's lacking a little. It looks good, but it's lacking a little bit in polish. It looks like
graphically it's polar bear constantly chases you. But it's got co-op too. One person can be the fox and one person can be the little girl.
That's cool.
And I didn't play it in co-op mode, but there's a, I think that would be a little bit better because the AI is terrible in this. There were times where you can switch back and forth between which one you control. So sometimes I would switch to the fox to do something and the girl would jump off a cliff. Like she'd try to jump for a platform, completely miss, and then send me back to the last checkpoint.
Seems like a really good game for like a father-child, mother-child co-op, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as far as this being a game, I can't really recommend it too much just on that level, but I really did like the cutscenes.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Like an interactive story.
Yeah.
It seems almost like an interactive story.
Yeah, kind of like that. But okay. Very short game. I think it was like 3 hours or so. It's going for, I don't know, $13 on Steam.
$13 is a lot for a 3-hour game.
Yeah, it's a little steep. But I think it's cool that they're doing stuff. They're working with people to create this kind of stuff. Like, I think it's good that we have games like this.
And it's nice when a game tries to expand the audience's awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the you were talking about with what was that game that was black and white and red and it was part of the horror?
Oh, Neverending Nightmares.
Neverending. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, a lot of gamers wouldn't see that stuff unless it was put in a game and shown to them. So yeah. I can appreciate some of that stuff.
So, just like today, we're doing this stream. We're trying to expand our streaming content. Today we did our first live stream together. I believe it was the first one. We might have done something before. Maybe a little.
Oh, we did one once. Long time ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, we tried playing Rust because Rust has been redone, and this is Rust 2.0, and it's fucking awesome. Man, it fucking sucked. We got it.
Wait a minute, I'm getting mixed messages here. Is it awesome or does it suck?
Well, they promised. Well, they didn't promise. I'll be honest. That it was just version 2.0 or whatever. I don't even think
you can still be naked and have your dick out, though, right?
Even more so. I don't think you can cover it.
Yeah, you don't even spawn with pants. It's pure, unadulterated nudes.
This is the.
Can they at least do a female model so I can see?
Is this the new one?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I think this might be the old one.
This might be a little dated.
Yeah.
It looks a little different.
Not the most current one. But anyway. I went there for the fun and got a load of dicks, basically. It's just like tons and tons of dick. So much dick.
Kind of like your dating life.
Oh, God, this was so much fun. So somebody is complaining, Puppy Parade. We're playing Puppy Parade. And he's like, man, they just spent too much time modeling these dicks. And Bobby's like, they're not. Bobby kneels down and goes up to Nick and he goes, I mean, it's not that detailed. He has his face right next to it and accidentally swings and circumcises Nick. Nick then, you know how Nick overdoes things. Yeah. He yells, he goes, I'm bleeding out. And I turn just in time to see him ragdoll with his dick up in the air.
Right, the dick is modeled now. It used to be just part of like the texture.
Yeah, it's got its own.
Yeah,
the life of its own.
It's not a Ken doll.
Does it have the jiggle? Does it have jiggle mechanics?
No,
only when you die.
When you die, it goes. All over the place.
It was ridiculous.
Fucking flag flying in the air.
Yeah, and it's funny. Like the rest of this game is so boring. That when shit like that does happen, it just makes it oh so special.
It looks a little different. They got like fields now and stuff. Like
it looks a lot better. This video does no justice. It looks a lot better than the first.
Yeah, this looks so much better. But you know what? We were saying how bad the gameplay was, but I don't think the gameplay was any different than when we used to play. I think we're just over the survival crafting thing. Like I think it's just a done deal.
I just wasn't involved, so it wasn't as fun.
Could have been
there
too.
Was a lot of stuff. There wasn't enough resources to go around, which I was thinking maybe was a mechanic they were playing with, because that way people get more aggressive earlier because there's less shit to go around. There was hardly any animals.
This was the game that had the drops and all the airdrops and everything.
Yeah,
did you guys?
There was no airdrops. No,
didn't see any airdrops. Had a hard time finding animals.
So they didn't have
no zombies,
AKs, or like you didn't get into M4s or anything.
Well, there was guys with guns, and it wasn't us.
Oh,
okay. So that gives you an idea of how we're doing.
Okay.
But I don't know. It just seemed the exact same to me. I mean, very little had changed other than the graphics. There's still very little character animations. Like, people would walk up to a tree, stand in front of it, and then the tree would disappear.
Oh.
So for them, they would be doing the animation where they're whacking it with an axe or you know, whatever. But
it looks a lot cleaner as far as the UI and everything.
Yeah, it's deceiving. It's deceiving. It's like, hey, look how great I look. You know, it's like an ex-girlfriend that's like, oh, look, I got a boob job. I'm like, oh, wait, you're still the same shitty person that you were.
Best analogy ever.
There it is. Nailed it.
Nailed it. So what you're saying is, this is still in the alpha, early access. This is still early access.
Oh, yeah.
We bought it back in the day for $30, I think.
$20.
$20, yeah.
And it's still going for $20 at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. I got my $20 out of it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got our $20
out of
it.
And you can still play it. You can play Rust Legacy, it's called now. That's the
Yeah, you can play the old version.
Yeah.
But no zombies in it anymore, either. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Could you see yourself getting into any of these survival crafting games anymore? Because I am immediately turned off by this.
I think if this gets to the point where they say, okay, this is our final product, I think it'll be fun.
I don't see that coming anytime soon. You know, when we were playing, I talked about DayZ, how they raised the price to $35. And I was asking Nick about that because I know he plays it a lot. And he said it's because they're getting closer to a beta. Like, they're an alpha right now, so they're getting closer to a beta.
Yeah, they said 2016 for the final release.
For the final release.
How long has that game been in development?
I remember
7 years?
Well, we were playing the mod back in 2011, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
I mean, when you're getting money being in an alpha, like, what's the point of rushing it?
Well, I don't think they're making money anymore either. Who's picking up DayZ at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have already
sold. Kind of the hype is gone on that game.
Yeah.
And same with Rust and all these other ones. You know, the hype's kind of gone on these.
Yeah. There's the one coming out by Sony, right? Is that going to be on
PC? H1.
Yeah, Z1.
Yeah.
Is that going to be on
PC? So that's Sony Online Entertainment.
Right.
So I believe it will be coming out on PC.
Yeah, because they do things like their MMOs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Well, I think the problem, if I could just put one last word on this. I think the problem with these types of games is they leave you doing nothing for so long. There's so much stagnation that when something does happen, it's this huge rush, and you kind of feed off of that, and you wait for those moments, but I don't know.
They're too far.
They're too far apart. At the end of the day, you spend 90% of your time just milling around doing jack shit in a forest.
Well, you know? The thing that I think about games like this, It's almost a PvP game, so your fun is dependent on other people. Like, if you're going in playing Rust as a single player game, you're not having a blast. You're only having fun if other people are involved.
Right.
So I think this game needs to figure out ways to make the player interaction happen more often and do things around that. Because honestly, if you're playing Rust like a single player game, you're just not gonna have fun doing it, right?
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that maybe that there's less resources for that reason.
Yeah.
So that they would make people go to where the resources are and then
more
fight
conflict
more.
Or more trading.
Yeah. But ultimately, one person's gonna win out and be more powerful, and then be able to just hold that spot.
Yeah.
And although we did kill somebody, we just kept throwing bodies at him until we killed him. And then we got killed.
Yeah. So. But still, you're spending the majority of your time just running around.
Yeah. And trying to find each other. Yeah. I see. It's a whole new island.
Oh, and there's different biomes. The
yeah, there's different biomes. So it's like there's the frozen part, the desert part.
There's a lot of cool stuff, but it just doesn't. The core gameplay is exactly the same.
I feel like the old version got polished to a point because it's been out for so long. Then they came out with a new model, and there's a lot of bugs and tweaks.
Can you recommend this game at all? To people that haven't played this game, would you recommend?
It's tough.
I don't recommend any survival crafting
game. If you had to recommend a survival crafting game, what game would you recommend?
The most fun I had was on Nether, funny enough. And that was the most glitchiest.
How about the free-to-play one that was developed by that one person?
Oh, Unturned? You know, that had potential. I played an hour of it, so I can't really say that... I can't really give an accurate opinion on it, but that one did have potential, and I think that one could have been really good.
And that one's free to play, so you might as well give it a go if you're interested.
And I can't say...
But I would agree with you. I think Nether, you know, kind of had the enemies. That it was scary.
It had something to do.
Yeah,
it had
but we were running around six deep with five friends. You know, that does change it. We were a gang, so that changed the mechanics.
We were a gang in Rust. We did that a bunch of times, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to say that
I had
more
fun. There's shit to do in Nether, though. It's...
Is Nether even around anymore, though?
Nether didn't rely on other players as much. There were a lot of NPCs that you could...
Yeah, and scary ones.
Yeah, and they were more dangerous than a lot of the other people.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's what's missing in a lot of these games. Like, we were talking about this months ago, where they need, like, a boss monster that you fight, and that's what Nether had. You need, like... The NPCs need... You need to be fearing the NPCs to get the players to work together more.
Right.
And then once you get beyond the NPCs and the players have built themselves up, then the PvP starts. Like, these don't have that initial fear factor where we got to work together to try to get over the first hump.
And you can kill people with one axe swing. No.
Really?
With a stone axe.
Well, a naked guy. You can craft a bucket to put on your head as a helmet. And you can make
I'm the juggernaut, bitch. That's what he looked like.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think just oversimplify it again. I just think that you need more stuff to do. That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. Or you should put dinosaurs like they had in that one game.
Yeah.
So we ended up playing Payday 2, which is always fun.
Yeah, Payday 2 is a blast.
It's always good.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
Especially when you're with four buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Payday 2, man. Love that.
How much is Payday 2 these days? You can get it for a couple bucks.
It's really cheap.
It is always on sale. You can. It's probably $10 during the exploration sale, but I'm sure it'll go cheaper than that.
And that's pretty much always a recommend, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Solid game. Yeah. And I recently got all the DLC for it, too. And if you have the DLC, if I create a game with a DLC, with a DLC map, then other people who don't have the DLC can still join my game and play on that map, apparently.
Yeah, so he had the...
I had the Hotline Miami
Hotline one. Miami ones, so I got to play even though I didn't play it because he created the server.
That's cool.
Which is cool, but I was kind of let down by the Hot Miami thing. I thought I was expecting more of at least the music from there or maybe the look, maybe some more neon.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that. It was basically just...
You wouldn't even know it was Hotline.
You wouldn't even know.
Yeah. They do have the soundtrack, though. You can choose a soundtrack. It doesn't matter what map you're on. You can change the soundtrack to whatever you want. But I turn the music off anyway because it's a little distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Payday 2, always good times.
Yeah.
All right. I've got Abyss Odyssey up there, but because we're running low on time, I'm going to save that for later.
Okay.
And also...
Should we talk about scene changes?
Yeah, let's talk about...
We talked last week a little bit about Steam changes, but there's more that came out. Right?
Yeah. Well, Steam has been making a lot of changes. Last week, they made a change to the region locking policies where when a game comes out, by default, it has region locking on it. That's going to severely affect people who trade games, who get games from people in Russia. And this week, they took another hit, too, with Steam changing their policy on gifting. Now, if you buy a game and you have that game in your inventory, you cannot trade it for 30 days. You can, however, gift it, send it through email, or gift it through the friends list. But what this forces people to do...
is trust.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has to go first. Traditionally, what they do, someone would have, say, 5 keys. And then they would open up a trade window, and they would say, okay, here's 5 keys, and then here's the game. We both click OK, agree, and then the trade happens. Now what you have to do is you have to blindly give those keys to the person, and then they have to get the game and gift it back to you. Mm-hmm. So it opens it up for a lot of scamming, and a lot of people are very upset about it. But I feel like Valve is trying to deal with this problem the best way possible. This is still better than them coming out and banning accounts, locking accounts, and going after individuals. This is them trying to handle this the best that they can. So, I don't know. It sucks for the people who get games this way, but at the same time, it could be a lot worse.
So, we had talked a little bit offline about how maybe there's going to be a third-party system that ties the gifting in with the trading and lets you do it in a third-party system.
Well, there's websites already set up to do that, like Dispenser... Spencer.tf, I think it is, where people set up a shop, basically, and they say, these are the games I have, and if you click on the game, it tells you how many keys you need. And, see, Albert's got it up here. You click on the game you want, then you click on the type of key you want to pay with. The top one's a TF2 key, and it tells you how many of those you need. So this guy will take 2 keys for Chivalry, 2 keys for Battle Block Theater. That's a little high. I wouldn't do it. But that's their price. And then you put your trade link in the window, and then their bot friends you and sends you a trade offer on Steam. I don't know if this is going to work too well anymore unless they've had these games in their account for over 30 days.
So now this has to be a gift instead of a trade, right? Basically.
Which he's saying he doesn't know if that works.
Yeah, this would only work if they have had this gift in their inventory for 30 days already.
Gotcha.
So it's going to impact the gray market, yeah. But it's not the death nail either. You know, this is not going to kill it.
Do you think it's going to hurt sales overall? Because a lot of sales are going on because of this.
Yeah.
It's like this kind of stuff is kind of rewarding people that does the extra work to find out these kind of loopholes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that can ultimately be good for the developer and Steam, because the person that wouldn't have bought it at $10 but puts the extra work to find it at $4 is still paying $4 to buy the game. Yeah. You know? So
copies are still being sold.
Exactly.
This is not piracy.
Exactly. So I don't know. We'll see how this looks. But you're the one that's big into this, Emil, and I don't do any of this stuff.
Yeah, recently
we're
got
suckers.
Into this.
Yeah, we
listen to Bobby.
Yeah, we are the suckers apparently. Well, you want to go into write what we're playing next week, or?
Yeah, do we have any more news that we wanted to bring up? Or is that, we talked about the Steam Exploration sale.
Yep.
We talked about the Steam changes. Our Twitch channel, this is going pretty well. I think we'll do it again next week, and we'll even advertise. You know, as soon as we posted in the Steam group today that we were streaming, and we, boom, got like 10 viewers right off the bat. So we'll probably do that again when we do the podcast.
What I'm hoping,
1,000 viewers.
What I'm hoping is we get to a point where viewers can actually talk with us in chat, and we can have some back and forth.
I've had a few people in the chat here. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I don't know if they're still there. I don't know if they're saying anything relevant. Somebody said hi.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Shout out to Spooky.
Well, we didn't really advertise this one this time around.
No, this was kind of a test run, and I don't know. We're still not in the clear yet, but I think it's going.
I think the ultimate goal for us is to get closer interaction between the people that listen to us and ourselves, right? Right now we have our Steam community that you can ask questions to us, and we like to answer them. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot it in the Steam community for DL Gaming, and we'll happily answer them. But hopefully at some point we can actually get some interaction back and forth between our audience during the podcast, and we can actually get
things are way more relevant too, because you know, you don't have to wait 4 days for the information to come out if you watch it live.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Because we record this sale example.
Yeah, well, we record on Saturdays typically, and then we post on Tuesdays.
Yep.
So there is half a week there that passes.
Yeah.
So anyway, next week we're looking at Dragon Age Inquisition. Hopefully, I think we already have it, so we're going to do the co-op. Get into that.
Yeah. Hopefully, Emilio and I are going to be hitting that up and having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about that. Very popular game, and I've never played a single Dragon Age.
Neither have I. So, Emilio's played one, you loved one, you hated two.
Didn't touch two.
Nobody
did.
Okay. And so now this is the third iteration, right?
I hear it's a masterpiece, too.
Yeah, I've heard only good things about this game. I'm so excited to play this game.
And Bobby's playing some Dragonfall, huh?
Yeah, I think I'm getting close to the end of this game. I'm not positive on that.
What's the whole title? So
Shadowrun Returns Dragonfall, right. Director's Cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this has been a listener request on our...
Yes.
Well, Bobby would have played it anyway, because he loves the first
game. Yeah. Well, last time I had a week off, actually, back in April, spring break, is when I played...
April's last time you had a week off?
Yeah, well, no, I had all the summer off.
Okay, that's right.
But I think it was... Or maybe it was my first week of summer vacation. I played Shadowrun Returns, and then I almost jumped straight into Dragonfall, but it's twice as long, and I'm glad I waited, because they released the Director's Cut, which is the standalone, revamped version of the Dragonfall expansion pack. So yeah, I've been hitting that hard this week, and I'm going to talk a lot about it next week.
Cool.
All
right.
Yeah,
so check us out. DLGaming.net is our website. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and all that. We've got YouTube content going up pretty much weekly, too. You can watch the videos.
Albert's putting work on his videos, as usual.
Yep.
They are going up. And, hopefully the streaming thing is going to continue.
Yeah, because eventually we might just do that right into our video. Eventually. Yep. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So until then, titties.